Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we look at Wisconsin's first wolf hunt, which will take place from mid-October to the end of February. 201 wolves are being targeted for harvest, and hunters and trappers can begin applying for the limited number of licenses starting this Wednesday, August 1st, with the permit winners' names announced in early September. The hunt comes after Wisconsin lawmakers passed Act 169, instructing the DNR to bring the state's wolf population down from a figure that exceeds 800 animals to a target population of 350. Rules for the first hunt were finalized by the Natural Resources Board at a meeting in Stevens Point on July 17th. And today we're going to hear some of the testimony from that meeting from hunters, ranchers, environmentalists, wildlife biologists, and Native American leaders, from people who are in favor of the hunt, people who are opposed to it, and from people who think that that target figure of 350 is too high, too low, or just right. Our guest today, Kurt Thiede, Division Administrator for Lands for the DNR. He's a native of Medford who is spokesperson for the agency on the hunt. Kurt joins us from our studio in Madison. And joining us from telephone is, by telephone rather, is Mike Wiggins. He's the chair of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. He'll give us a tribal perspective on this first ever wolf hunt. This is an emotional topic. We know you've got opinions and questions, so we encourage you to call us at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742, and we will try to get to as many as your calls as we can during the course of this program. Kurt Thiede, what is your role in helping administer this inaugural wolf hunt? Well, apparently we don't have Kurt Thiede on the line right now. We'll try to reconnect with him and bring that perspective to you. So let's turn to Mike Wiggins, who joins us from the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Mike, what is the position of the tribe on this first ever hunt?
The position of the Bad River tribe is that we feel the state's wolf hunt, recreational wolf hunt, and some of its management goals are contrary to our position and our management goals. Our goals here within the tribe are to try and maintain our current level of wolves, of which we have four wolf packs inside our tribal boundaries. And so it kind of sets us up, being opposed to what's taking place.
Now, are you opposed to the entire idea of a wolf hunt, or just with the way that the rules have been drawn up for this inaugural session?
Well, let me clarify. First of all, that on one hand, Bad River is part of the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, and 11 and 10 other tribes along with us comprise those tribes that have treaty rights within ceded territory. From that perspective, intertribally, there's been a pretty strong oppositional approach that's been taken, and that's been indicated in some of the testimony that's been put forth by Glifflick. As far as the Bad River tribe goes, our tribal council is in consensus in its opposition to the wolf hunt, and a lot of that begins with our cultural connections to the wolf. Mm-hmm. It begins with the way our values are set up through some of our traditional stories about where we come from and how the wolf plays a role in where we come from, and also ultimately where we're headed. With that being said, it does transcend the cultural side of things too, and move into some of the opposition moves into some of the issues that center around the lack of what we feel is adequate science and sound management.
Right.
It kind of, from the Bad River tribe's perspective, it covers the cultural component plus the science component. And we feel that both those areas, you know, set us up to having issues with what's taking place.
Well, we heard quite a bit of testimony, and we're going to play, I believe we have clips from 19 or 20 of the people who testified at this meeting the Tuesday before last in Stevens Point. I want to play a clip right now of some of the people who are either opposed to wolves in general or who feel that this particular wolf hunt simply doesn't go far enough. We're going to hear in this order Lori Grosskopf. She's a Tomahawk resident and citizen activist. Lee Farney, the executive committee secretary of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. Al Loebner of Millidore, Wisconsin. He's with the Bear Hunters Association. And Annette Olson, rancher and farmer from Glenwood City.
There is a noticeable impact on other species, most notably white-tailed deer. We've seen declines in the deer harvest in the northern part of the state. I spoke just last week with a landowner and hunter from Iron County. For a long time, they were harvesting 5 and 6 deer every year off that land. Last year, they got zero.
Why is it that Wisconsin needs more wolves in Idaho, more wolves in Montana, more wolves in Wyoming, and more wolves in the UP? People in wolf country, not everybody, but a large majority of them, are very angry about having wolves there and about the fact that this wolf program has sort of been forced down their throat.
My initial reaction to the proposed plan was that at this rate, we will never get the wolf population under control. This population needs to be reduced before our depredation becomes more than our citizens can bear.
I, along with my family, raise beef cattle, goats, horses, and from time to time, sheep on our 80-acre farm. It is a very difficult and potentially dangerous situation to walk upon the tortured carcass of a newborn calf with its mother still circling it, nudging it, still trying to protect it. It is a scene that infuriates a farmer.
And again, what we just heard was Annette Olson. She's a rancher and farmer from Glenwood City. Al Loebner of the Bear Hunters Association. We also heard from Lee Farney of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress and Lori Grosskopf, a Tomahawk resident and citizen activist. And I believe we've hooked up now with Kurt Thiede, the Division Administrator for Lands for the DNR. Kurt, are you on the line with us now?
I believe I am, Glenn.
Okay. Kurt, say hi to Mike Wiggins of the Bad River Tribe.
Wiggins, good to speak with you this evening. And,
good evening, Kurt.
And I just played these five clips from a number of people who obviously are opposed to wolves or feel that this particular wolf hunt doesn't go far enough. Mike Wiggins, let's start with you. How do you react when you hear that kind of testimony?
Well, I think looking at the state ad hoc committee that originally called for a wolf harvest level in and around 129 animals compared to the ultimate settling of that quota at the level of 201. My first reaction is that ad hoc committee was comprised of a variety of scientists and experts on the issue at hand here. And 129 is far less than 201. My response is along that line. Every animal is sacred, of course, but every animal in a social pack dynamic, the way wolves are structured, is critically important, you know, especially looking at omega and alphas. I'm not sure if the state's own experts, you know, are in line with some of the testimony that we heard, especially, you know, from an anecdotal kind of perspective.
And Kurt Thiede, how do you react when you hear from people who obviously think that the figure of 201 animals isn't high enough and they would like to see more aggressive action by the Natural Resources Board to reduce that figure more quickly?
Well, I think what we hear when we hear that testimony is what we've heard for quite some time at the department, and that's there's definitely multiple sides and multiple facets to this issue. I think, as I shared with the Natural Resources Board, in my years as a wildlife biologist and working for the DNR, I've not yet come across an issue this complex. Obviously, and I'm comparing that to the deer world as well, you have obviously strong feelings in opposition to any harvest. on one side, you have very strong opinions for a higher harvest, or in some cases, no wolves on the other. And then intertwined with that is obviously what's already been expressed by Chairman Wiggins is the also cultural and religious importance of these animals on the landscape. So really what we're looking to do with this initial proposal is trying to find that sweet spot or strike a balance in our inaugural season, understanding that we're going to learn a lot from this first season, and we have the ability following this season and with the follow-up permanent rule to take a look at what we've learned and then adjust accordingly.
The former DNR Secretary George Meyer, as you talk about a sweet spot, said at that meeting, you know, this 350 figure is a compromise, but maybe compromise isn't such a bad thing. I want to play now the other side. Here are people who are pro-wolf and critics of the hunt. We're going to hear in this order Howard Goldman of the U.S. Humane Society, Thomas Givnish, UW-Madison Professor of Botany and Environmental Studies, Norm Poulton, a board member of the Northwoods Alliance, and Gary Besaw, tribal legislator with the Menominee of Wisconsin.
The wolf is not just another game species. It was extinct in Wisconsin, formally listed under the Endangered Species Act in 1974, and only delisted on January 27th of this year. What's the rush? Wolves are a public trust. They don't belong to consumptive users. They belong to all of the citizens of the state. In fact, they belong to themselves. They're an apex predator, play a very important role in natural ecosystems, and are a symbol of the wilderness. There's no biological reason to hunt wolves.
First, I believe that the proposed kill rate of roughly 24% is too high and biologically unjustified. This is the first season for wolves in Wisconsin in a long time, and hundreds of people have worked over dozens of years to see the gray wolf recover. This is not the time to install an aggressive hunting policy that may endanger that recovery.
Look at these bumper stickers. They don't say 350 wolves, do they? They say no wolves, all right? I think we should not be listening to these type of people. We should be listening more to the people that know something about the wolves.
This is one of the reasons why the Menominee are opposed to wolf hunting, because in effect, we're saying we're going to go out there and hunt our brothers and our sisters.
And that last clip was Gary Besaw of the Menominee. Mike Wiggins, is that an accurate description, I'm assuming it is, of the way many tribal members see the wolf as a sacred creature akin to hunting your brothers and sisters?
Absolutely. That is the tribal perspective in a nutshell. Joe Rose, Bad River tribal elder and professor at Northland College, opened up Bad River's testimony to the Natural Resource Board just recently with a pretty comprehensive story, a traditional story at that, that painted that picture of how Mayingan, you know, the wolf, and Anishinaabe, you know, the tribal people, walk hand in hand. And at a point in that journey, they were separated. But there was the prophecy of sorts that essentially said what happens to one will happen to what happened to the other.
We'll play that clip a little bit later in the program. But Kurt Thiede, you certainly have your hands full trying to please all of these different factors. I'm wondering if you expect any legal challenges to the hunt from the Humane Society of the U.S., the Sierra Club, or another group. There were lawyers taking notes at that board meeting at Stevens Point.
Well, I think as we've seen with previous delisting efforts in years past, we have, while the state of Wisconsin has not seen any legal challenge, there has been challenges of the Fish and Wildlife Service. But really, it's that's something that's out of our hands. I think our focus right now is we've got a rule that's been approved by our board. The act is in place. And now our focus on is making sure that we responsibly, as we're charged to do, responsibly manage a sustainable population of wolves in the state.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. We've got Norm in Oneida City. Norm, you're on Route 51.
Yeah, good day. I didn't realize I was going to be on earlier.
This is Norm Poulton. I thought it might be, and that's why I took your call first.
I'll make this a little short. A couple statistics here. They talk about the wolf population and so on. First of all, we lose about 25% of the adult wolves every year. They're lost to diseases like sarcoptic mange, canine parvovirus, blastomycosis, and others. They're hit by cars. Sometimes wolves kill other wolves over territorial disputes. When they're off the endangered species list, Wildlife Services has the authority to kill wolves preying on livestock. Farmers have the authority to shoot wolves attacking livestock. And yes, we still have people illegally shooting wolves out there. In fact, last year they found 25 wolves illegally shot. That's what they found. Also, only about 30% of the wolf pups survive their first winter for many of the same reasons. And about 30% of the wolf packs don't have pups because if something happens to the alpha, in many cases that whole thing separates. And the way this whole wolf plan came down, the right people were not contacted. What can I say? I think it's ridiculous.
All right, Norm, thanks so much for the phone call. Kurt Thiede, if you could react to what Norm Poulton just told you.
Sure, and those are all good points, Norm. In regards to the figures that he used, those are fairly accurate numbers as far as what we anticipate we do lose each year. I think the thing we need to take a look at is the fact that those losses have been occurring basically annually, and we've been seeing a steady increase in the wolf population. What our harvest is basically trying to do in that 24% harvest rate, we're taking a look at a range of anywhere between 23 to 29% harvest of a population is what we've been able to find in research that's out there that indicates where a wolf population you can start moving a population downward. So that's the reason we settled on the number that we did. We understand that those other factors do take place. When taking a look at some population modeling that had been done here in the state of Wisconsin, of all those factors included that were just mentioned by Norm, including a harvest, what basically those numbers did is they gave us a range of anywhere from 4 to 16%, and as was shared at the board meeting, it might be as high as perhaps 13.9%, so a 10 to 13.9% population decline in this inaugural season.
Let's go to another point of view and another phone call. We'll go to Dwayne in Hayward. Dwayne, you're on Route 51 with Kurt Thiede and Mike Wiggins. Hello, Dwayne.
I guess I have a point of contention first that you described that people want to hunt wolves as anti-wolf. Sportsmen have always been some of the best preservers and pro-wildlife there's ever been. Antis hardly ever contribute money to the wildlife and habitat. Sportsmen almost continually contribute the vast majority of money to sport species in the state of Wisconsin, any species. And if you make wolves a sporting animal, you'll see a whole turnaround in the ability and the people that want wolves here.
Dwayne, just a couple of things. I played clips from five different people, and I understand that they weren't all anti-wolf, but I think a couple of them were, particularly the rancher who's having trouble with her animals getting killed by the wolves.
You lose $1,000 steer to a wolf, that's a lot of money.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I'm not arguing with that, but I'm just telling you I didn't mean to apply that term to all of the people who think a wolf hunt is something that we should have. But do you think we're hunting too few wolves? Do you think that 201 figure is too low?
Oh, yeah. We're gaining wolves tremendously. I live in prime wolf country. One of the biggest wolf packs in the state is a mile or two out my back door. I see multi-wolves a year. When I was working and traveling 25, 30,000 miles a year on the roads of Wisconsin, I see 15 to 20 wolves a year. I go out coyote hunting. I go out bobcat hunting in fresh snow. Wolf tracks are not rare. I've had them run through the yard. I've had friends lose dogs to them. I think the DNR population is probably on the low side. We'll probably have well over 1,000-some wolves in the state. Listening to Adrian Weiderman talk about the DNR population figures just a few years ago, he said we had 108 packs. Each of those packs had 5 to 7 pups. So if you take 5 pups on 108 packs, that's 540 extra pups a year. If you lose 70%, you're still at 140 extra wolves per year. And that's when we had a population figure of around 540 wolves. Now they're saying we have a population figure of 850 to 900 wolves. So if you divide that by
Dwayne, I got you. I'm going to let you go so that we can get Kurt Thiede respond. Kurt, the implication here is that that 800 figure, whatever figure you're using, is too low. We've actually got more wolves than that.
Well, actually, the count, we usually come out each spring with what we refer to as our minimum winter count of wolves. So basically the number of wolves that we see coming out of the winter in February, January, February. And what that is that's it's a minimum count. We utilize track surveys, telemetry, aerial flights, and we count on having radio-collared animals in our packs to be able to identify the packs and then estimate the pack size. We've always said that that number is a minimum count, and that is a spot in time. As we know, populations aren't they don't stay at that level. When we do have pups throughout the summer months, you can see that population perhaps double in size. So to say that it's a minimum count, that's accurate, but it is a number that we feel is defensible, and as does the Fish and Wildlife Service.
All right, thanks so much. Kurt Thiede and Mike Wiggins with us on Route 51 talking about the first deer hunt, the inaugural deer hunt in the state of Wisconsin. If you'd like to weigh in, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We'll be back with more right after this.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We are talking about Wisconsin's first ever wolf hunt. Those applications for the permits are being taken this coming Wednesday, August 1st. And our guests, Kurt Thiede of the DNR and Mike Wiggins of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. We also want to hear from you. We've got full phone lines right now, but the number is 1-800-780-9742 when we free them up in a few minutes. Kurt, exactly how is this hunt going to take place? You drew up these rules last Tuesday. You're going to be taking these permits apparently, what, by mail over the next month?
How it's going to work out, and while the board acted last Tuesday, we've been working hard over the last couple of months plus, really coming up with these coming up with the rules we did take to the board. But it's basically on August 1st, individuals will be able to apply either in person at one of our DNR offices, at any of our licensed vendors that we have at locations throughout the state, or they can do it online or over the phone. So we've given a number of options, and knowing that this was going to be on fairly short order, basically a month application period, which is very uncommon for a majority of our species that are harvested in the state, we are not going to be doing any mail-in applications. It's all going to be electronic.
Okay, and you're going to draw them randomly to decide who gets the licenses?
Yeah, that's correct. And then just speaking in regards for this year, it's all going to be by random draw. In future years, half of the permits will be available to those by random draw, and then the other half of the available permits or licenses would be available via what we refer to as a cumulative preference system. So the more points you have, the more opportunity you'd have to get one of these permits.
We heard at the meeting that you're going to issue as many as 10 times the number of licenses in order to reach that kill quota of 201 deer. Are you really going to be issuing 201 wolves, I meant to say. Are you really going to be issuing 2,000 licenses for this first wolf hunt?
We don't anticipate that to be the case. That would be the multiplier if we had that full quota of 201, but as is customary in northern Wisconsin as a result of the Voight decision, the Chippewa tribes in northern Wisconsin within the ceded territory are eligible up to half of the quota. So while we don't know what that quota may be yet, we do understand that it will be somewhere less than 200.
And how do you make sure that you don't harvest more than 201 wolves?
One of the things that we have is the ability to shut down any one of the six harvest zones that were approved by the Natural Resources Board via emergency closure. So as we've got the ability, as we are, you're required each day to call in if you've harvested a wolf within 24 hours of the kill. So one of the things that we've also done to make sure that we reduce any chances of overharvest is they'll be calling in to our phone bank, our DNR phone bank, to report that animal. So we'll be able to get real-time information on the number of wolves that are being harvested at a given time of year, and we'll be monitoring that very closely. It appears that we're approaching that targeted quota very quickly. We've got the ability to close that zone to assure that we, in any given zone, we do not exceed that harvest.
And again, you've got six different zones, and the harvest levels are different for each of the zones. Mike Wiggins, with the way the rules for this particular hunt have come down, do you see any potential problems in terms of maintaining a sustainable deer, a sustainable wolf population in Wisconsin?
Well, I think when you look at it, there's a couple of ways I approach it, and intertribally, collectively, you know, the tribes look at this and compare it to other species that we've helped manage, you know, through the treaty rights and the cooperation between Glyphwick and the state. The number one rule on any approach to any species, fish, other animals, is to err on the side of caution and to approach things very, very, very conservatively. When you look at some of the rules that are coming down, the 201 quota, the way depredation, kill, and other mortality is separated out from the quota setting process that the state's using, you could ultimately be looking at you know, a population decline that's going to be right around 14%. That's contrary to what we feel is a sustainable management number, and really is not sitting well with a lot of the tribal leaders and that comprise Glyphwick. I think there's also it's also been discussed that there's issues with the state's ability to shut down harvest. I think Kurt can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in the realm of trapping, as an example, Fisher and other quoted animals, there has been a lot of trouble controlling the amount of harvest based on the permits that are issued once they've reached their quota level.
Kurt Thede, is that true?
Yeah, I guess what I would probably draw as a comparison would be bobcat, where we also have the 24-hour reporting requirement in place. There, I think in the last year plus, we've shown that we've had the ability to go the entire season without exceeding or reaching our quota. But as Chairman Wiggins points out, with Fisher and Otter, we have seen in the past, not necessarily every year, but I know that in this past year specifically, we had exceeded the quota that was established. Acknowledging that, and I think as we shared, and we will be sharing next week as well with the tribes, we're ready to take a look at whether or not we need to impose a similar type of system as we have for bobcat and for wolf, for those other species as well.
We talked earlier, Mike Wiggins, about the sacred nature of the wolf in tribal heritage, in your stories, particularly in the creation story. You mentioned Joe Rose, who testified at that meeting with you. He gave a very moving and compelling rendition of the creation story, showing man and wolf side by side. And I'm going to play a clip of that right now. This is Joe Rose at the special board meeting in Stevens Point the Tuesday before last.
It was both Anishinaabe and Moringa, man and wolf, that returned to get some Manado, the Great Spirit. And so man and wolf stood in the presence of Getsemanado. And so the Great Spirit spoke to both of them. In many ways, the two of you are alike. When you take a mate, it will be for life. Your social order will be very complex. And so Moingan was given the wolf pack. Anishinaabe was given the clan system. Both of you will make your living by the chase. Both of you will be excellent hunters. And then there were also prophecies. And if Anishinaabe passes out of existence, all other humans will soon follow. And so our destiny is related to the destiny of Mohegan, the wolf, and that's just a part of our teachings.
If you heard Joel Rose speak today of the Anishinaabe, the Ojibwe, and the wolves as being relatives and going through life together, what happens to one happens to the other, a kind of bellwethers, if you will, for how the natural world is going. It's not a matter of taking an animal to kill it. Here the value is in the presence of Mohegan, because as Mohegan flourish, then the Ojibwe would see them flourishing as a people as well.
If I was to use the word sacred, would that be a misconception on my part?
No, I think using sacred would be very important. You know, all clan animals are sacred, and all clan animals have their role, as do clans, and Mohegan plays a very particularly important and sacred role in the lives of the Ojibwe.
And that last clip is from James Zorn, who is the executive administrator of the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, and Joe Rose of the Bad River Tribe. Mike Wiggins and Kurt Thede, is there a culture clash here between different views of the world and life, the role of human beings, the role of nature? Different stories in Western culture. We've got the Big Bad Wolf, Red Riding Hood, and the Jack London books, popular movies portraying the wolf as a ruthless killer. But Mike Wiggins, from a tribal perspective, it's a different story.
Well, I think it boils down to this, in my view. The taking of an animal, you know, when we take a deer, or we harvest a fisher or a bobcat or anything, a fish. That's a sacred act, and there's tradition that accompanies the taking of any life. There's a sacredness there, and there's lots of good things that come from that harvest, and all sportsmen understand this, no matter what race or background. You know, food for the family, that ability to provide for others, the nurturing and passing on of traditions related to some of these activities. But what's critical to remember, and Jim Zorn touched on it, is that letting something live so that their presence can be around us and that we can benefit from their life, that's a sacred act also. Letting them live in the Ojibwe perspective is a sacred act, and one that has a whole plethora of good things that come from that, and that resonates on the same level as the notion of taking and harvesting an animal. There's a sacredness that comes with letting an animal exist on the landscape, and there's case law that surrounds that importance, especially when it's rooted so deeply on so many levels.
Kurt Thede, the tribal areas for the most part are sanctuary zones for wolves. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I just wanted to say too, I think the testimony by Mr. Rose, as has been all, I think the stories and what the tribes have shared, whether it was at the board meeting or whether it was during our consultations or meetings with the various tribes, we greatly appreciate those stories, and I think that, as you can see with the proposal that we took forward to the Natural Resources Board, we are proposing what would be considered no harvest zones for a majority or number of the tribes in northern Wisconsin, including Red Cliff, Bad River, LCO, Lac du Flambeau, Menominee, and then there was also an amendment to add a majority of the Stockbridge-Munsee reservation property as no harvest zones. And I think hopefully that's seen as an acknowledgement that we understand that these are sacred animals to the tribes. And then one other step further as well is we would also be note that the 20% or the lower core wolf range that we'll always be managing and harvesting at a lower rate, that's primarily encompasses a majority of those reservations as well. We're charged with making sure that we have a sustainable, viable population of wolves. We take that very seriously, and we'll continue to manage towards that goal.
Kurt Thiede of the DNR, Mike Wiggins of the Bad River Tribe. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about the wolf hunt. We'll be back with your phone calls after this.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
1-800-780-9742. We're talking to Kurt Thiede of the DNR and Mike Wiggins of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, about the wolf hunt. Let's go to Jennifer in Athens, who has been waiting patiently. Jennifer, you're on Route 51.
Hi. I'm going to try to keep this short. I am 42 years old, which is not something a woman wants to admit on radio anyway, but I grew up in the state of Wisconsin. I grew up North 107 of by Merrill, and we had the Newwood Pack back in the day. I grew up knowing that wolves were endangered, eagles were endangered, sandhill cranes were endangered, and I have had the privilege of seeing all of those animals come off those lists. And I know that I'm really neutral on the hunt thing because I raise beef cattle. I understand how people might feel, you know, if a wolf attacks your animal. But they're part of our ecosystem, and I just don't know why human beings feel that they're better than other species and they get to hunt them as trophies. That's the part that bothers me. It's not if it's killing your cow or, you know, attacking your dog. I get that. But as a trophy, I'm really just confused how we have come this far. My whole life has been spent watching these animals come back.
Jennifer, thanks so much for the phone call. We got it, and I think I'm just going to leave your comment stand as it is. It was a very eloquent exposition of your point of view. And let's go to Matt now in Wausau. Matt, you're on Route 51 with Mike Wiggins and Kurt Thiede.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to point out a couple things real quick. I'm a big botanist kind of guy, and I like to travel around the woods. The number one reason I hear people say to me they want to hunt wolves is because there's no deer. But what I think we're all failing to, or some of us are failing to understand, is we live in an ecosystem. And when the deer population is too high and they eat too many of the plants, it actually hurts the deer herd. So I think predation numbers of wolves obviously are higher than they were, but we run much more of them over with cars. That's one point I'd like to make. The other point is goes along with that also in a way. We tend to manage for species that are profitable. We manage for white-tailed deer. We manage for geese. If it's not profitable, it's not useful. And one more quick point. There's going to be a wolf hunt. I understand that. If you've read the regulations with the shining at night, the leg traps, the baiting, that's an all-out assault. That's not a first attempt at hunting a wolf. That is an attack.
Matt, thanks so much. Thanks for the phone call. I want to give Kurt a chance to respond to that. Kurt Thiede, baiting, the leg hold traps, the hunting at night, the hunting with dogs. Some people are saying a wolf hunt is one thing, but some of these specifics go too far.
Yeah, those were all provisions that were included in Act 169. So really when it came time to rule writing, we had limited ability to modify what we were basically looking at with our rules were for instance, for trapping, how can we make sure that we're not incidentally catching other animals? So we put certain trap sizes in place at certain times of the year. And then also from a safety perspective with hunting at night, basically we put in place provisions that are currently in place for coyote, fox, and other unprotected wild animals in the state, which is that you can really only harvest a wolf at night, provided that it's you're using a light only at the point of kill and only over a bait or calling situation. So he'd mentioned a number of techniques. Each of those techniques are currently hunting techniques or trapping techniques that are currently allowed for other species in the state.
You mentioned Act 169, which was the law that set up the wolf hunt. We heard testimony, and we heard, in fact, from one of the board members on the Natural Resources Board, Jane Wiley. Some people thought that the legislature overstepped its bounds by dictating environmental policy to the Natural Resources Board and the DNR. I'm going to play a tape right now. The first voice you're going to hear is Assemblyman Scott Souter, who is going to tell the legislature that he expects, tell the board that the legislature expects them in no uncertain terms to reduce that wolf population to 350. Then we're going to hear board member Jane Wiley, saying that she thought the lawmakers overstepped their bounds. They should have respected the professional opinion of the wildlife biologists and not imposed what she considered a politically derived quota. And then you're going to hear finally from DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp, who we asked about Jane Wiley's charges.
I am disappointed that the harvest levels are not higher. I understand this is the first season, and we need to take a conservative approach, but I do feel it could have been more aggressive. For the past 10 years, my office has received numerous calls concerning wolves and the need to control them. 18 counties in northern Wisconsin have passed resolutions to manage wolves down to the 350 goal, a number that is part of the DNR Wolf Management Plan. I would like to make the legislative intent of the bill known to this board. To be clear, the intention is to manage wolves down to the 350 goal. That is what my constituents in my district, along with many others throughout northern counties, are demanding of legislators and are demanding of this board.
I'd like to ask Kathy to use her considerable powers of persuasion, as well as the strength of her position, to convince the legislators not to use their collective heavy hand to enact laws rather than to go through the usual administrative rule process. We've seen with Act 169 what happens when the professional DNR staff and the Natural Resources Board are excluded from the process. And if the legislature ignores you, Kathy, I hope you can appeal to the governor not to sign environmental laws forwarded to him.
Jane Wiley read a letter asking you to advise your colleagues in the state legislature not to substitute their judgment for the DNR and the DNR board. Your reaction to that?
Well, I'm very respectful of Jane's position as a board member, and I'm also very respectful of the role that the legislature has. I think their actions sometimes are symptomatic of constituents that feel unheard by the department. We're working every single day to try and overcome that. And ultimately, we are the state's workforce. It's our responsibility to carry out the wishes of elected officials and policymakers, and that's what we'll continue to do.
Kurt Thiede, your boss saying that it's the job of you and the rest of the DNR to follow the lead of the lawmakers.
Well, and I think one of the things I would add, too, is one of the things that the legislation did afford us was the ability for my team to be able to identify harvest zones. We were able to identify the appropriate quota, the appropriate harvest levels, as well as some important safety regulations pertaining to how that hunt would take place. And really, when we're taking a look at species management, it comes down to the permits that are issued more so than some of the other techniques that are employed when managing a game species.
Mike Wiggins, do you think the legislature overstepped its bounds in trying to dictate policy to the DNR? That was Jane Wiley's charge at that meeting.
Well, I think it raises a question in the minds of the tribes that where do the treaty rights and ceded territory come into play? That whole notion, that umbrella that I mentioned earlier, proceeding and erring on the side of caution, taking a very conservative approach to things, when the legislators are essentially writing harvesting rules that are so liberal, setting quotas without the science and the DNR staff behind them, that's going to fly in the face of how ceded territory and that relationship between Glyphwick and the tribes and the state DNR have functioned for 25 years. And all of a sudden you have this impasse where the tribes are sitting there looking at the DNR, asking the question, where is your quota coming from? And the DNR saying, well, it's the legislators in Madison that want this.
Mike Wiggins.
We can go back in time to an earlier conversation, you know, earlier this year, where the tribes are trying to get and redo some fish harvesting numbers, And all of a sudden, the state's digging in with an ultra-conservative approach, taking an approach that we can't deviate from any harvesting levels right now in the realm of fishing because we're taking a very conservative approach. All of a sudden, the DNR is okay with essentially being led, by I guess you'd say political forces, rather than through that notion of protecting a resource, sustainability, collaboration with co-managers that have federal authority to do so. There's some issues there, and ultimately, collectively, the tribes are still weighing their response.
Mike,
on this whole hunt.
You got to hold it there because I'm way behind schedule right now. I got to take a quick break. Mike Wiggins of the Bad River Tribe, Kurt Thiede of the DNR will be back with more after this.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
You're on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking about the state's first ever wolf hunt with Mike Wiggins of the Bad River Tribe of Lake Superior, Chippewa, and Kurt Thiede of the Department of Natural Resources. I want to play a couple of quick clips, some of the scientific discussion regarding whether or not this 350 target population of wolves is too high or too low. We've got a group of people here who think it's that maybe the science is out of date. It's the science is 13 years old. We're going to hear from Randy Jerwich of the Wisconsin Chapter of Wildlife Society, former DNR member who worked on the 1999 plan. Timothy Van Dielen, he's a UW wildlife ecologist. Richard Thiel, another former DNR member, and Matt Dahlman, the director of conservation with the Nature Conservancy.
The initial harvest of wild wolves in Wisconsin can best be described as experimental. The proposed harvest framework has a number of uncertainties. The Wisconsin Chapter of the Wildlife Society believes that harvesting at the maximum, the 20%, within the two zones identified as the most suitable wolf habitat is inappropriate given all of those uncertainties.
Advocating for a goal of 350 reflects a misreading of the 1999 wolf plan, and to the extent that it represented a judgment based on conservation science, that science is over a decade out of date.
I urge this board to direct the DNR to immediately commence the timely revision of the 1999 wolf management plan. DNR plans generally have a 10-year horizon.
We'd also like to see the DNR convene a group of experts in the coming year to scientifically reevaluate what a healthy and viable wolf population is for Wisconsin. Wisconsin's current management goal of 350, as we heard, has been set 13 years ago. We've learned a great deal since that time as far as its carrying capacity and habitat requirements of this species. We need a conservative approach as we reintroduce wolf hunting in Wisconsin, and to this end, we think the DNR is being overly aggressive in their proposal.
And finally, here's George Meyer, former DNR secretary, who approved the 1999 plan. Bob Welch of the Hunters Rights Coalition, they both think the 350 figure is still a viable one.
The goal, and as you're referring to the 350, seemed to be a reasonable compromise between population capacity, level of viability, and public acceptance. This came down to a compromise, and that's not a bad word. You need to have a balanced approach. I believe 350 still is the right number, taking into account the balance of ecological viability and social.
I want to make it very clear that the numbers that were in the statute, that are in the rule, that have been used by everyone today are the rules that were in the wolf management plan that is produced by the department based on the best science available. That is what was used to get delisting. It wasn't somebody else's number. It wasn't some former employer's going to come here and today they wish the number would be higher. That wasn't what was used to get delisting. 350 was used to get delisting. We want to be able to harvest the wolves in an efficient manner and in a manner that hunters will want to do. Hunters are going to become, I believe, some of the strongest advocates for wolves in this state because they'll become a trophy species and they will want to see them continue so they continue to have those opportunities.
So there's Bob Welch saying that hunters will become the protectors of wolves. Kurt Thiede, Mike Wiggins, we're just about out of time, but Kurt, I want to ask you very quickly if you think it's time to revise that 1999 plan with something more current?
Well, what we've been asked by our Natural Resources Board is to come back at their September meeting with what we would propose for a timeline to take a look at a revision of that 1999 plan. I would say that I think of the information that was shared at the board meeting, that statement that was made by George Meyer is one that that kind of alluded to at the beginning. Wildlife management is a science and also an art, and it's trying to find that balance of making sure that we've got a biologically sustainable, viable population,
Kurt,
that's also accepted by the public.
Kurt, we're completely out of time. Thank you, Kurt Thiede, Division Administrator for Lands for the DNR, and Mike Wiggins, Chair of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Special music today by Los Lobos and Sergei Prokofiev. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.